If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week. Before the end of the hour, Ashley Merriman is an attorney. She previously served in the Clinton administration and right now volunteers as a head of a small inner city tutoring program. We're going to talk about winning and losing and what are the differences between a winning and losing performance. Why are we able to rise to the top one day and maybe the next day you're not doing so well? Can we in fact become better competitors? Maybe identify your own competitive style and work from there. Thank you for coming on the show today, Ashley. A great topic because this is Final Four weekend and the college basketball season ends on the Monday, and only one team will win on Monday night, and two teams will win tonight. I'd like to know, you know, winning, everybody wins, and everybody, there's a winner and a loser. What do you make of this everybody gets a trophy mentality in today's culture?
Oh, I hate it. and the reason I hate it is because what we're telling kids, and I think it really is especially true for kids, I think bosses are a little more leery to hand out bonuses to everyone regardless of performance, right? But I think we're telling people that failure is so terrible, we have to pretend even the losses are a win. And great competitors, great innovators, need to understand that losing is part of the process. It's okay to lose. It's what did you learn from that experience? How are you going to come back for that? And, you know, it's interesting. The research says that great innovators, great competitors need a sense of agency, a belief that they can set their own vision and trust their opinion on how they're doing and know when to move forward and when to ask for help. And if you're telling kids everybody gets a trophy, think about that in terms of what this really means in that kid's development. The kid who did really well, the kid who did score the soccer goals, they tell me they're really frustrated because they're like, I worked really hard and I did really well and nobody's recognizing that. And the kids who did really badly, they're just as confused. They're saying, I did terribly. Why are you telling me I did so great? And, you know, they're saying, you know, isn't this when you're supposed to offer me help? And instead you're just saying, no, 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 don't trust your opinion of how you did. I'll tell you how you did. And I think that's really destructive. I think we need to tell kids, yeah, we're all going to screw up some days. It's how much did you improve and what are you going to do the next time?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
That's so much more valuable
than
a trophy.
More. And that's why they put scoreboards on playing fields.
Yes, I have parents who tell me, oh, we don't keep score. I'm like, well, but the kids did.
That's pretty weak. That's pretty weak. Here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike.
One of the things that Phil Jackson always said was that Michael Jordan was the toughest competitor between the lines. This question came from a listener when I tweeted fact that the show and the book Top Dog, and by the way, the website is topdogbook.com. When I tweeted that earlier in the week, one of the people wrote in, Michael Jordan was always the toughest competitor, but when he went to baseball, he didn't succeed. What does the book tell us about what he should have done differently?
You know, I've actually thought that exact question, and I think some of it has to do with expectations and, you know, the determination, are you playing to win? I don't know if he was really playing to win in terms of that full commitment to try as hard as he was doing. Or we certainly thought this was just some sort of lark and weren't taking it as seriously. I don't know about him. But I think that all-consuming passion, the even anger sometimes when you're not doing well. You know, last fall, one of the guys who won the Nobel Prize for Medicine, during his press conference where he's explaining to the world why he won the Nobel Prize, he does that a little bit, and then out whipped his high school report card and how he got this bad grade for science and his science teacher told him, you have no future in science. And everybody kind of laughed and went, oh, stupid science teacher. But my reaction was, wow, that fueled him for the next 10, 20, 40 years. So the first thing when he got his Nobel Prize would be, look, I showed everyone I could do it when they told me I was wrong. And I think that passion, that fire, may have sort of been missing in the baseball sabbatical, I think, that Michael Jordan was taking.
I will tell you a story about Michael Jordan and basketball, just since it illustrates it so well, that I was told by Phil Jackson. He would, when he was on the, when the Bulls would practice on a off day during the Michael Jordan era, he would put Michael Jordan plus the second team against the rest of the first team and one of the guys who would replace Michael Jordan. And so basically they expected that Michael Jordan's team would lose, but it never lost.
right.
And the only advantage they gave Michael Jordan is he could name the end of the game time, and he would have to name it 5 minutes before the game was over to give the other team a chance. Michael Jordan would never name a quit time unless he was ahead by unless his team was ahead by a considerable time. So one day he decided that in fact he would, the other guys had 3 days off. So it was the first day of the 3 day off period. So they said, we're going to play until we win. We will outlast him today. This is the rest of the first team. And after 8 hours, they said, this is getting ridiculous because Michael Jordan. And so they let Michael Jordan win. And that just shows you his, he would not quit unless he was a winner.
Yeah, and I think you have to do that. I mean, you also have to understand that, you know, there's, you know, a chance that you are going to win. And if you have that chance, that's really empowering. That's motivating. You know, that close race, it doesn't mean a guarantee of a win, but the feeling that you can do it and it's in your grasp changes physiology. And now, I always think of, you know, a football game, especially at a blowout, where the team that's winning, those guys are hopping up and down at the end of the game, right? I mean, they are just raring to go. They have more energy than when they started. The team that's losing, they're breathing hard. They look like they're about to pass out. But they've both been playing the same game, right? So what's going on? It turns out when you have a challenge, when you believe you can do it, doesn't mean it's assured, but you can do it, you're blood vessels actually dilate. Your heart rate changes. A researcher at the University of Rochester has found that people in this challenge state can have up to almost 2 liters more blood pumping out of their heart per minute. I mean, this is a huge increase.
Wow, that's incredible.
Now,
yeah, their lungs dilate. The way they process glucose is faster. But when you're in a threat, when you think you're going to lose, your veins actually contract. Because your body is actually trying to literally stave off the bleeding.
Now, I'm going to bring this back in the second segment to a ping pong game I have every Saturday where I typically lose to a guy who's 18 years older than I am, should never win, always says I got I got 13 stents, 2 defibrillators. I mean, he starts the day. I got dandruff, 2 defibrillators, 13 stents. Foot fungus, etc., and then he beats me. But anyway, we'll come back to that in the second segment. But you have a chapter called The Utter Importance of Pillow Fights, and I loved it. Tell me what you mean by that. Tell the listeners what you mean by that.
Well, that actually comes is based out of research from the University of Montreal's Professor Daniel Paquette. And he says that right now the focus in parenting is all about attachment parenting, nurturing, protecting, comforting children. And that's important, but that's not parents' only job. Parents are also there to encourage kids to explore, to challenge themselves, to do new hard things. And that job doesn't stop when you finally convince the kid to go from that step of crawling to walking across the room. It's pushing them. And in Paquette's research, he's actually found that one of the great ways to train kids to emotionally regulate, to be controlling how they respond in a conflict, is through roughhousing.
We'll be back with Ashley Merriman in a minute. Her book is called Top Dog, The Science of Winning and Losing, here on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, a jaw,
shortness of breath.
Please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness.
It's time to take it serious.
Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath. Cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn a song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.